Wizard Magazine. Marvel versus DC. I don't wanna fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here.
Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 354. And Spencer was born ready, yes.
Oh, what did I do?
I don't know if you're born or made, but we'll see.
We'll find out. Oh, wait. No, you'll find out.
Yeah.
Something like that. Okay. I don't know.
So, I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Dave.
Spencer.
Josh.
Pat.
The whole gang's back. Dave was able to get here. The dogs got him here. We were really happy about that.
They did.
And...
Do the dogs have hand controls?
Well, of course. He's got...
Yeah, I'm an expert at the at the reins now, the hand control reins right now. If it had a pedal, I wouldn't be able to do it. If the sleigh had a pedal, no way.
So the hand control, is that now just like second nature? Is it still?
It's getting there, but it's still. I gave myself till like next May to stop worrying. I gave myself a year. To stop worrying about driving, but it's always on
so
the
free
back
comic
of my
day.
Mind.
Dave's coming through the window.
No, that's
I don't care anymore.
That's why I still park far away from the store here.
Well, good. I don't remember any news this week. I don't remember anything
trailer.
Of note. Yeah, yeah. Spider-Man trailer. I saw the John Wick teaser trailer that's dropping tomorrow for the actual trailer. Yeah, I don't know how they're doing Spider-Man when he's dust. So, saw some people complaining about that. That they've spoiled.
They're gonna get rid of a billion-dollar property like that. Yeah, makes perfect sense.
Couldn't they just say it takes place before?
No, they already said it takes place.
Wasn't me.
They already said it takes place after.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Oh.
But still, okay, you know Spider-Man's coming back.
What?
Yeah.
Spoilers
for a movie hadn't even come out yet.
I feel like they should put out a fake trailer that had, didn't have
Where's Peter? I don't know. Where's Peter?
Just pans over a dustpan.
Nice.
This summer.
They're just do the exact same trailer, but every time you see him, it's just... Apollo Dust,
Apollo Even though she wasn't there, have, like, Aunt May sweeping up and then crying.
Oh, Peter.
First Ben, now Peter.
Missed opportunity.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't know about any other news. I didn't really...
Wasn't paying attention.
I haven't really seen a whole lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
We got a couple questions.
I thought you would have had a rant
about
that text you sent us yesterday with Infinity Gauntlet.
I missed the whole thing. My phone was being ported over to a new phone while that was going on.
Oh, see, there's the problem.
Could be.
Let's see. What did I tell?
Everyone else text messages to work for?
I don't know. Josh was running for food and was texting me asking if I wanted anything, and I wasn't responding, but I wasn't getting the text. Oh, about that, okay. Infinity Gauntlet was the top-selling trade of the year. And I'm like, well, okay, is that necessarily a good thing for Marvel when a 20-year-old trade was the best-selling, but yet nothing that they put out last year actually charted.
I thought that was the monthly chart, not the
no,
yearly
that was
chart.
The year.
See, I'm okay with
See,
it
yeah,
for the
if,
year.
If
yeah.
the movie hadn't come out,
no,
then,
absolutely, yeah. But it didn't have anything to do with their current output. The current people there in charge, I don't think, should be crowing, look, we won, when it had nothing to do with them. It was more because of the movie.
Okay. Yeah, see, I thought that was December,
no, that was the
and
yearly.
That's why I was like...
But then what was the second? What was the number two?
Saga Volume 9, then Saga Volume 1, then Saga Volume 8.
Okay, so it wasn't like there was a Marvel right there.
No, there wasn't another Marvel in the top 10. Then it was Action Comics 80 Years of Superman, Walking Dead 29, Paper Girls number 1, Batman White Knight, Dark Knight's Metal hardcover and Monstrous Volume 1. So, a lot of Image.
Monstrous up there, wow.
Yeah, well, that's a $10 trade. That's a big trade. But that one sells well. But, like, DC could crow about Metal and White Knight, you know, being in there, because that was books that came out there. That's just what I was like. Infinity Gauntlet had nothing to do with the current group there, or even current stories or anything. It had to do with a movie, and it really didn't have anything to do with the movie, other than it had an Infinity Gauntlet in the movie.
It's not like that stupid Infinity Rap War thing that they've been pushing out.
No, the only reason it sold is because, I think the only reason it was number one is because the movie was a two-parter, and people were hoping to see how it was going to end. But I don't think it's going to have anything to do with the book.
So, no.
That was all. That's just where I just saw that, and I was just like, not sure about that.
No, so. I mean, it's similar to how they did Civil War and Winter Soldier. It's, at best, based on a concept.
Yeah. It's an emergency.
It's not.
Answer it.
I'm not.
Go get it. You gotta take care of it.
No,
is it the new job or the old job?
It's my mother.
Oh, okay. Talk to your mom.
She's fine.
You're ignoring your mother.
I sent her a text saying, just a reminder, if you want cookies, let me know by Tuesday. And instead of just replying to the text like a sane human being would do, she called me.
Obviously, she's not a listener to the podcast.
No, I'm going to say no. I think Josh is very safe there.
Can I tell you, it wouldn't stop me.
So I made Josh internet famous this week. With his Voltron, Lego Voltron, so that was fun.
I feel like that was very, you know, low internet fame.
It was, but still, you're there.
I didn't even know who the guy was that I was.
I understand, but I know who the guy was, and he's a very important person, so.
He seemed very indifferent about his receiving of the Voltron.
And that's why I was sending them, that's why I responded to him the way I did. I've known about him for a very long time, just in the internet. It's Christopher Butcher, who's the manager of the Beguiling, which is a big store in Toronto. And was literally sitting across the aisle from him on the flight to Memphis to Comics Pro, which is even funnier because then when we changed planes, another guy I knew was sitting in front of me. I'm like, wow. But so I started talking to him, and he's like, how do you know who I am? I'm like, so just... But I knew he would...
Everyone knows who the Beguiling is.
Well, yeah. So it was just funny when he tweeted saying, so apparently I'm getting the Lego Voltron good, I guess. And I'm like, a customer got it and said it was awesome. And I tagged Josh in.
I guess I'm getting a $180 Lego set. Gee, thanks.
Yeah. And then so Josh shared a picture.
Doesn't have did a it come
with
stick,
the with the whiskey bottle?
It did, actually. It came with the Jameson Special Reserve.
But I know you were using that for size, but it was just funny.
Empty, of course.
No.
Not yet. Yeah.
I have a lot of alcohol at home, and I rarely ever drink like hard liquor at home. It's from all these beers.
If you need anything, Ken, just push Dave out of the way.
No, I'm
okay. So, yeah, that was all. But let me see. Let's see what questions we have. I know we had at least two.
At least two.
Three! Okay. Nick asks, do any of you associate specific bands or albums with specific comics? Concept stuff like Clockwork Angels or Amory Wars excluded. I've always put Punisher comic with Iron Maiden. Personally, no.
I've never associated a band with comics.
No.
I associate Aerosmith with Shadow Man.
There you go. That makes sense. Yeah.
Did a crossover issue, Pat.
Oh, okay. Eminem with the Punisher. Actually, no. Punisher, I think, more Disturbed than...
I think System of a Down.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
They're flipping through a Harley Quinn book. And looking on the inside, Colin is looking inquisitive.
Which part?
Variant cover says Frank Cho.
Oh, okay.
But it's not.
Yeah, I think it was supposed to be, but he did. Yeah, I don't know.
Interesting.
It was last week's Harley variant.
Someone returned it because it was a Frank Cho?
No. It got very, very hot because it wasn't Frank Cho, and the only thing that was selling that book was the Frank Cho variants. So when he was off, people ordered less. And so all of a sudden it got hot because it was under-ordered. It wasn't under-ordered, just less demand, but whatever. Okay, James says, really interested in your thoughts on Batman. Actually, we'll probably get to that when we talk about Batman. And I'll bring his question back
up. He's Batman.
Ty asks, The Yellow Hulk, instead of getting stronger when angry, he gets more slippery. Who can defeat Bruce Banana-er?
Okay. Who asked that question?
That was Ty. But so if he gets slippery, who... Oh, good one. Good one. Well, sadly, he's DC, though. Who in Marvel? Is there a gorilla character in... Oh, Gorilla Man from Agents of Atlas.
Really sticky?
Like peanut butter? Oh, Peace Pot Pete. Or the Trapster, if you want to not make him angry.
Okay. Go with that. Was that a real character you threw out at me?
Peace Pot Pete
is, yeah.
I've never heard
of him. Yeah, he was an old Fantastic Four. He had glue guns.
Oh.
Yeah. No, he's... Dave will back me up on this. Peace Pot Pete is a real character. But then he changed to the Trapster. So. Mick will back me up on this, too.
Yes, I can confirm that. This
was in the years before the Condiment King, so
yes.
He was the lamest. Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever read a Fantastic Four book.
Really?
Really?
Wow. In my entire life,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's strange. One of my earlier memories is one of the first ones I got was the first Terax. I remember the cover well.
Yeah, like I've read... Fantastic Four stories that were part of some other book or an event,
but never an issue.
Just straight up.
Wow. So we have a mission to make
Josh
read.
I've never read a single issue of Fantastic Four.
Wow. That's interesting. We'll note that for later.
And one of the first Fantastic Fours I got was Byrne, of course, but it was an Into the Negative Zone issue, and it was
sideways. Yep. Oh, I still remember that one where it was Galactus on the cover, and they were all real small, swirling around.
Yeah.
Oh, that Byrne run, that was really good Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Remember picking that up. That was great. My...
Would you have called it a sick burn?
Ba-dum-bum.
That was pretty good.
It's a podcast.
All right.
No, so... Okay, well, sorry, no more questions.
If I wanted to try and get into Fantastic Four,
I'd start with the burn stuff, honestly. I wouldn't jump into Hickman.
I always heard the Mark Waid stuff was good.
Yeah, the Waid stuff was very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, Dave and I just kind of both grew up on the Byrne stuff, and it was...
I think I had the Matt Fraction books at home that you had on sale. Yeah. Not good. Maybe I had all the overstock. Yeah. Adam told me they were good.
I mean, they kind of start out all right, but then that was kind of towards the end of his whole... So the last handful of issues on both titles just kind of get you're not trying right now.
Does the Byrne stuff feel dated?
I don't know. I haven't read it since it came out originally, so it wasn't dated back then. I just remember it being really good and really loving it.
Mr. Fantastic was like, get back, Honky Cat. And
I wonder if they're stopped putting more of that stuff out, like in trades.
It was the 80s.
You never heard someone say honky in the 80s?
He obviously didn't watch it, Jeff.
You're a liar.
Liar if you haven't. Because I did, and I was born in 81.
No, but I'm sitting there going, what? Did they say that on Welcome Back, Cotter? Did they?
Yeah. Definitely said on the Jeffersons.
Spencer?
What do I do now?
Save us.
Why is it ever to be on
this? Oh, it doesn't have to be you.
Well, no, Josh was putting this pressure on me earlier, saying that it had to be a good podcast, and it was...
Why?
It's all my fault.
Let's start now.
Why start now? Exactly.
Turn it over a new leaf on 354. Come on.
I told Spencer I turned on Poker Night, so he better make it a good podcast.
All right, well... I'll go with.
At what point did we stop interrupting Dave for old Dave? When did that take place?
It just happened naturally, which is kind of what makes it magical.
Okay.
Like, somehow the joke took on a life of its own and actually changed our behaviors to match the new reality that the joke has created.
That's deep.
It is. This is
needed some diagrams.
This is the podcast multiverse.
Like Doc Brown on the blackboard.
So,
is that all the questions then?
That was all the questions. I'm very sure.
When new Dave get burns old Dave.
Yeah, that was all we had.
Okay. New Dave sassy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sassy.
Are you going to talk about your books or what?
No, I'm not. The second issue of the Miles Morales Spider-Man, with him teaming up with Rhino to figure out what's going on with a lot of these missing children. His, Rhino's daughter and Miles' wannabe girlfriend's brother or nephew is missing and are being controlled somehow by these machines that they basically shoot energy that I think kind of gives them activate powers or something like that. But it was an alright issue. It ends with Rhino and Miles teaming up with Captain America now to try to put an end to the smuggling of children, you know, to put in these suits. So I feel like this first story arc is just kind of introducing Miles to a lot of the Marvel universe. Try to cement them in there. But the other Spider-Man book I read was the first issue of the Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man.
I read that too.
Which I really enjoyed.
Yeah, I thought that was really good. This was Tom Taylor, I think, yeah. Doing this one. The art was really good, nice and clean.
Yeah.
Nice and clean art.
I was telling Tim, I liked it, but it's not my favorite, because sometimes when they get to it, almost looks like computerized, almost, okay. Like a little too, and I know that's just some people, like, art style, but I like more of, like, it looks like it's been drawn with, like, a pencil kind of stuff, but I really liked it. The backup story was pretty sad.
It was funny. Do we want to spoil it? We'll spoil it. But Aunt May is in the doctor's office waiting for the results.
She's pregnant.
She might have cancer.
Yeah.
And I'm I already remember Aunt May dying. So no offense, it didn't have a lot of impact because I remember when she died in issue 400. So
Aunt May being pregnant would have a lot of impact.
Yes. Although, unless it was the movie Aunt May.
Yeah.
And then.
Yeah, calm down, Romeo.
I'm not saying me, I'm just saying in general.
You don't want to see J. Jonah Jameson's dad? Is his dad still with her?
No, he died.
He died.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he sacrificed himself for something during something.
Yeah.
The clone conspiracy.
When I was still reading Marvel, he was alive and well.
Yeah.
Come back.
He's not, for what? He's dead.
So he was the only reason you were reading?
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. Him and Moon Knight.
Well, if they're...
He was Moon Knight.
Well, back with the...
he was Moon Knight, Dave. That's why I was into it.
Yeah.
Man, this is how this is how great comics get created.
Yeah. There you go.
We all know you'd read the J. Jonah... Jameson's father's Moon Knight.
I would, yeah.
It's not your pappy's Moon Knight. Actually, it is! You took a long time to get through this list.
Sorry. Nightwing.
How is Rick doing?
Better in the fact that I guess now they kind of slowly have him doing some more superheroing. Like, he had to go in and save this new group of Nightwings. That found all of his stuff in the fire, going up against Scarecrow and aren't doing too well, so he has to intervene, and he takes if I remember correctly, like, he, like, something was on fire, so he took, like, some smut and just, like, rubbed it on his face, like, first season of Arrow style, but almost kind of to look like the Nightwing symbol, like, on his face almost, kind of, and had to come in and save him. And, so it seems like he might now be joining the team of Nightwing, so at least maybe now it would come into, you know, we can get past, like, this stupidness and slowly just kind of get him back as the being Nightwing. Then Green Arrow.
I read that.
I liked it. I thought it was a nice issue. Though I guess, yeah. Colin said, though, that they're canceling the series.
Yeah, 50 is the last issue.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know about canceling. It looks like it's tying it. It's going to be your...
Heroes in Crisis thing?
Yeah. So I might get a new number one, but looks like some... I just saw the cover. I think it was in the new previews where it's him taking off the mask.
I wouldn't be surprised if it comes back out as some sort of, you know, straight up like him and Black Canary book.
Yeah.
It's just been called Green Arrow.
What I thought was maybe they would make do is, because I remember in the first issue of the Green Lanterns, they had, like, a coming in the year of, and they had, like, a Green Lantern and Green Arrow together. Maybe they, like, old school just take him and Morrison takes Green Arrow into the Green Lantern book.
I hope not. I didn't read issue 3 yet, but I'm not... the first two issues I didn't love.
And then, oh wait, well, I guess we didn't even talk about Green Arrow.
yeah, had some, like, Inception stuff going on there.
Yeah.
Count Vertigo got some powers.
Yeah, an upgrade.
Apparently he was using his time in prison to meditate and hone his abilities until he finally, had control over these powers to kind of bend the world around him.
I liked it. I thought it was a pretty good issue. The art was really nice in it. I liked how, I don't know if we ever mentioned it a couple of issues ago when they introduced the aeroplane. Mm-hmm. And they've been actually using that and stuff. Yeah. I like that kind of stuff. But it's just another...
It's cool. It's still showing... I like that it's still showing, you know, fallout of Roy Harper's death and the impact it's having on Ollie. And how he's just kind of, like, throwing himself into as much, you know...
As much vigilante as he can.
And I think this book has done a really good job of you know, showing the importance of Black Canary in this whole dynamic. It's been good.
Yeah, because at times it's almost been as much of a Black Canary book as a...
Yeah.
As a...
And that's why, yeah. That's why I think I could see them relaunching it, having it, you know, be a straight-up, you know... him and Black Canary book. I also liked whenever that kid that he tried to arrest in the beginning was free, and then he was just like, I'm not going to be one of your arrowheads or whatever, just doing ideas.
Yeah. Then Justice League?
I read Justice League. It was okay. I think because Hawkman is so great, this Hawk, you know, Thanagar...
just not Hawkwell, living up to your...
Hawkwell Justice League... story just wasn't as exciting as the Hawkman books have been. So,
yeah, I haven't read the Hawkman series, so I think I might like the issue a little bit more. Since, you know, I don't have that to compare to. Or I just been liking this storyline more than the last previous with, like, the Drowned War. Like, I thought it was good, but sometimes I don't like the big event. Like, I just kind of like this. And just that, we didn't get much of these characters either in the last... Though, they still haven't really explained why Batman isn't in the... Because the past couple issues, Batman hasn't been in the big robotic suit. Did they ever explain?
He hasn't been in the past couple issues of Justice League.
Yeah, but I mean, like, they never explained, like, how he got fixed or anything, right? But
is he fixed? I thought the last time we saw him, he was still in the...
No, I'm pretty sure in the past two, whenever they done the flashbacks to Earth, that he's within his normal.
Oh, I'm not sure. I thought he was still in it.
I thought maybe it might have just been one of those weird, like, oddest things they didn't realize, and I'm just on Batman like normal, not in a crazy suit. But it's just them trying to figure out this great secret that everybody's after that's being held in Themyscira.
Thanagar. So, yeah, like, there's this very old Martian there who has all his knowledge about what's going on, and so Martian Manor's trying to get to her. Thought she was dead, but then she's actually still alive and is somehow the source of or tied to the existence of Thanagar and how everything there is kind of built on the line, and it puts them at odds with now the Lantern Corps and other larger players in the universe who seem to have a stake in guarding whatever secret is being hidden. But you know, it felt kind of like a bit of like a muddled story. This issue, I thought the art was great, but the story itself felt like a bit of a slog to read.
That's it.
Young Justice. Did anyone else read Young Justice?
No. Sold out before I could even grab a copy.
You grabbed a copy, then you gave it to me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. I have more coming in tomorrow.
So here's the thing with Young Justice. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a really fun first issue. That the art was good, the story, you know, was really good, the characters were all great, but it makes no effing sense at all. None. Like, I really enjoyed it, but afterwards I'm like, I have no idea, like, all these characters happen to be in Metropolis at the same time. So, at the very beginning it starts up, and I don't really know much about, you know, Gemworld or the characters in Gemworld, so I'm not sure if, you know, anyone we saw was,
yeah, sure you
do. Were anyone important. My most experience of Gemworld, I think, is that what was the weekly book that Lemire was writing with Azzarello and
Future's End.
Yeah, when there was the girl from Gemworld and
Amethyst
with Princess Frankenstein.
Of Gemworld. Mm. Yes. Okay. With the burned face.
Yes. Yeah. So like. You're seeing someone in Gemworld and they're saying how Earth has had 7 crises, and every time Earth goes through one of these crises, that all the worlds that kind of are adjacent to Earth or kind of touch the universe Earth's in also, you know, get punished along with the Earth's universe. And seeing that Gemworld is one of these places has also had to deal with it. And then we see these Titan-looking, you know, dudes from Gemworld attacking Metropolis, trying to draw Superman out and saying they want to, you know, they're seeking out the champion of Earth and doing all this damage, thinking that it's going to draw out Superman. But instead, it draws out all these other heroes that are coming together to be this new, you know, Young Justice team. So we have Ginny Hex, who is showing Metropolis. In her pickup truck with a tarp over the back, and she's not really sure what's even like under the tarp or what everything is that she has with her.
Did you know if there's a Ginny Hex before? Has there ever?
She was in one of the Walmart books.
Okay,
that's where she was introduced.
So she gets pulled over by a cop, and when she's being questioned, that's when these dudes show up. Then all of a sudden, Robin shows up. It's Tim Drake Robin. He's not wearing like a red Robin uniform, just like straight up Robin. And then Cassie Sandmarks, that's her name, last name, right? Wonder Girl. He runs into her like moments before these Gemworld dudes show up, and she's in Metropolis, she's going to college. But then whenever they show up, Robin wants to jump into action, and she's kind of very, you know, like gets some anxiety and doesn't want to you know, get involved. We have a teen Green Lantern that shows up out of nowhere.
The Teen Lantern.
Teen Lantern, who says she's going to think of a better name later on, which that one bugs me because how many freaking human lanterns do we need at this point? You have all these other planets with like one Green Lantern for the whole planet, and now...
The Sector.
Yeah. And now we're up to, well, let's see, we have Hal, we have Guy Gardner, we have Jon Stewart, we have Simon Baz, we have Jessica Cruz...
And Kyle.
Kyle Rayner. And now we have Teen Lantern. So now we're up to 7. 7 human lanterns.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
But she was a fun character. And then also, we get Bart, Impulse, who just shows up.
I'm
getting there.
Okay.
And then at the end, suddenly like it looks like they're in Gemworld. And then we get Connor Kent, Superboy, leather jacket and everything. And it was fun, and everyone, and like there was a lot of energy and excitement on every page, and it was a very fun read. But just at the end, I'm like, I don't know how any of this makes sense.
It looked great.
The art was fantastic. Like I said, it was a very good issue. It just felt like they said,
was it Gleason?
It was Gleason and Bendis. But it just felt like they said, well, doesn't make sense. But F it, we're going to write this story because we're going to write this story with these characters and we don't give a crap about whatever else is going on. And it's fine, but yeah, if you think too hard about it, it's going to make you hurt a little bit. But
at least the Impulse one makes sense because they showed him coming back at an end of a Flash issue a while back. They just haven't done anything with it. With that, I was kind of surprised that he, you know what I mean, on here instead of being in Flash first, but...
And I'm going to save this one for Pat, so that's all I have for me.
Okay. Batman.
That's what I was saving for you.
I really liked this issue.
I really thought it was just okay.
Okay.
I love the art, but to go with what James, occasional guest of the podcast, was saying.
Did you look at his tweet?
I did see his tweet.
Okay.
You read his tweet already, didn't you?
No, I didn't read it out loud. I figured I'd wait.
Oh, I think you did. So, yeah, James was saying, I don't have it in front of me, but saying that he's been a little bit disappointed with Batman as of late and wanted to get our opinion on it. Is that the gist of it? So, I don't know if I'd say I've been disappointed, but I do feel like there's been some ups and downs. So, like, last issue I thought was fantastic. But this issue, I don't know. I felt like it was trying too hard to... It was doing this weird thing where there wasn't actually any dialogue in it, really.
Right, it was just all getting this internal monologue
from Bruce and kind of like seeing his whole process as he's
it was Sherlock Holmes.
Kind of Sherlock Holmesian. So you're seeing his whole process. He's like, he's captured by Professor Pig. He's tied up, hanging upside down. And his whole process for how he stops, reassesses, evaluates the situation, how he kind of, gets out of, being tied up the ropes, how he cuts himself free, trying to figure out what's going on.
The knife.
But after a certain point, I just felt like it was leaning a bit too hard in that direction. But the art, I thought, was incredibly fantastic.
Yeah, Mr. X,
I really loved the art. And it wasn't a bad issue. I guess after the previous issue, with such impact with things that happened to Leslie Tompkins and Alfred and Thomas Wayne, maybe Thomas Wayne, Glory Red Eyes, just so much cool stuff happened. And suddenly this issue, I was just like...
Well,
Professor Pig.
The one right before this was the one with that other Bruce Wayne, the kid.
That was two issues.
That was the
ago.
First Nightmares, wasn't it?
No, the last issue was the one with where there was the Zorro and Alfred got stabbed and Tompkins died.
That was Detective, wasn't it?
That was Detective.
Was it Detective?
Yeah,
that was Detective. They're all blending together.
Yeah.
Because he even said in this issue about Alfred getting hurt and seeing Thomas Wayne.
Well, no, but okay, when that happened, Alfred did get knocked out by Thomas Wayne because he said, it's your father. And
oh,
that's
right.
Where it ended.
That's right. That's right.
But yeah, I thought
they're
the same thing. I was
like,
thinking
it
was Leslie Tompkins and whatever.
Yeah, that was the time.
All right, well, then in that case, the last issue, the last issue of Batman wasn't as good as that last issue of Detective. And either.
Yeah, that last issue of Detective was really good.
That last issue of Detective was really, really freaking good.
I like the Sherlock Holmes aspect of it because it's cool. Okay, what's actually going in Batman, going through his head? Because, all right, he has a plan for everything anyway. So how does he actually work the problems and, things like... I thought the one thing was it took him too long to realize I still have weapons because that would be the first thing Professor Pig would have taken.
Well, because here's the thing. Yeah, that was neat, but it only worked because Professor Pig tied him up and hung upside down and didn't check him for weapons, didn't take his mask off. Like, it wasn't... He got out of it, and we found out it wasn't actually even...
It was a dream.
Yeah, it was a dream. But he only got out of it because Professor Pig was a dope in how he, captured him in the first place.
Right.
And like some things, like really, you have the Batarang taped to your chest. How would you walk around with a sharp Batarang like taped to your chest between his pecs and not get like sliced up every time he moves or fights someone?
Maybe he does. Maybe he's got like a plastic tip on all the.
He borrowed Clue's.
No, he has that. He has that giant one on his back that Romita drew.
That one was ridiculous.
All Star.
That one was ridiculous. It looked like a like one of those handsaws you used to cut branches down.
So what was his question?
That was just he's a little let down by the recent Batmans, and I think it was a mistake to do these nightmare ones, and then in the middle of that we're getting interrupted for the Josh Williamson Batman Flash crossover. I think it's just going to be a little disjointed. I think it's going to losing its impact, and wherever this goes, there might not be as many people along for the ride.
Well, but if Tom King knew that that was how it was going to fall, it may be written. It may be written in such a way that it can kind of do what it needs to do, and without really causing a problem with the overall story arc.
How have you been feeling about the stories themselves, Mr. McMahon?
No, they've been good. It's not so much a story. You know, it's like, okay, here was a little one story about this little Bruce Wayne. Here's one about him having a nightmare about Professor Pig. Then I think we're getting another one, and then we're getting a two-issue interruption. Then we're getting back to some more, and it's not like a story where I think that's where the... that's just how that started.
Yeah. Can't plan these things.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's all. I just think it's losing momentum because of that. Whereas, you know, the stories, when they're doing the stories where these are just a series of one-shots showing his, I don't want to say descent into madness, but, you know, that aspect of it, I think it's just...
Yeah.
Because I felt... Like you said, that last issue was great. I want to see where the Flashpoint Batman goes.
Yeah.
And we're months away from even getting back to that story. Yeah. So,
I felt from the get-go that the King's run has been a roller coaster. Like, he has some incredible highs, but then he tries things and sometimes it doesn't always work out, and then it kind of, you know, meanders a little bit, but then it goes back up again. So, I don't think I'm losing faith at all, if that's what, you know, how James might be feeling, but I definitely, you know, this current arc, I guess, is not, you know, so far one of the highs, the super highs.
I'm almost wondering, though, what was the second arc or the third arc where he went to Santa Pristina and fought Bane, and it was just, that arc sucked. But I'm wondering if that's not...
Break your damn back.
If that's not more important than we're kind of giving it credit
for. I'm sure it is. And he says he's on the book for 105 issues, so he definitely has... And he says he has everything planned out, and he's definitely engaging in some long-form storytelling here, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure if you were to step back and look at the whole, it's going to make sense. But in the moment,
that sucks. At the moment, it did suck. Yeah, no, that, like, you know, Batman's a book I don't ever think I'd stop reading, but damn, that arc made me go, all right, that goes to the bottom of the pile.
Yeah, and like, that... arc sucked, but the book has never been, you know, overall bad. Like,
no, not at all.
Like, there are highs and there are lower points, but never bad. It's still, I think the worst issues of that are still better than a lot of other books that are coming out from the big two.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Thanks for the question, James.
Yeah.
We wish you were here. It's always a pleasure when you're here.
Any other book I read was Punisher.
How was it?
It's okay. He's actually been captured by Baron Zemo, and he's tied up and, you know, stripped naked, and they've got him in this room. And Zemo is in charge of this I forget what the name of the country is, but it's essentially a Doctor Doom-esque thing where...
Markovia?
No, it's not Markovia.
I think that's DC.
Wasn't that also... No, it was Sokovia.
I thought Markovia was...
Markovia is DC, yeah, Sokovia is Marvel.
Marvel. I forget the
pretty,
name of
like,
yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Cool, though.
Well, no, just Outsiders and Geo-Force.
Yeah.
But the whole world is turning against the country, whatever, and, you know, Zemo feels depressed, and so he goes and carves a big skull onto the Punisher.
He feels depressed, so he strips Frank Castle down.
Yeah, well, he wants to kill the Punisher, but he wants to do it in a way that makes him, you know, look, for a political statement, like, at one point...
Can I say, though? If his goal was to make him, like, you know, look bad or whatever, I feel like all he did was make him look more badass. Because if I saw the Punisher, he actually had his logo, like, carved into his chest. Like, that MF means business.
Yeah, he's dedicated.
I'm not screwing
that
guy.
He's dedicated to the cause.
It's one thing to wear a t-shirt with a skull on it, but you carve that skull into your chest? Okay.
Let's test
especially
that.
Especially when, like, most aren't going to even see it.
You know who that didn't work for, though? Riddler. Riddler's whole shtick is clever. Not like,
no.
Yeah, when someone just clever carves them in their chest and it's like that guy's crazy.
Yeah.
He's really just out there.
Yeah. But like Zemo had the Chameleon dress up like the Punisher and kill a reporter on live TV. So, you know, now the Punisher's more wanted than he's already. It's like, okay, he's killed thousands of people. What's one more guy?
Yeah, I would think like the most, you know, normal people think the Punisher's a bad guy anyways.
Or not.
I would think like the average person
is a role model.
So I would think like the average person
that far, but
the average person that just knows about the Punisher through, you know, stories they hear or from the media probably thinks he's just
he's certainly got some mental issues if nothing else.
Because they probably always just hear like vigilante kills.
Yeah.
You know, not necessarily like supervillains, but just...
But that's just it. That's why the Punisher doesn't have a rogues gallery. He takes care of business. I mean, Batman, Spider-Man, they're very much the no-kill. They got the largest rogues gallery. Hey, just eliminate some of your problems and...
That rogues gallery has made Batman a pretty popular franchise.
No, it has, but I'm just saying. You know, maybe if you took care of the clown, you wouldn't have so many problems in Gotham. Just saying.
There are a lot of, like, the Rogues Gallery on the Marvel side ends up being very shared.
Yeah it does. Like, there's a lot of crossover
like,
between the Punisher.
Kingpin.
Kingpin
is
well, he's
a
been
rogue
a Punisher.
For,
he's been Daredevil.
Daredevil.
He's been Spider-Man.
Yeah.
You know, Purple Man, obviously, Jessica Jones, Daredevil.
Yeah.
Spider-Man by far has the largest and probably the coolest rogues gallery. But, you know, they all live in New York. That's the other thing, is they're all in New York, not like in D.C. where
so
you got
the largest,
you got...
just because of the nature of the properties, would probably have to be the X-Men. Their rogues gallery, just because it has an unlimited number, just like...
Yeah.
But yeah, Spider-Man probably has...
But not as well known. I mean, people know Magneto. They know Sabretooth. You know,
Mystique.
Yeah, Mystique.
Emma Frost.
But
then most of them become
they,
good
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, become
though.
Yeah, we're anti-heroes at best.
Yeah, but I mean, you've had that with Spider-Man too.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Well, even with Batman now too, you've had Clayface. Riddler was kind of good there for a while, pre-New 52.
Kite Man. Unsung hero.
of Tom King's run.
Yeah. James, if you're starting to feel it all like down in Tom King's run, just remember what he did for Elmer Fudd and Kite Man.
Yep.
That gives you faith.
Yeah. So. That's what I got. Old Dave.
The Wrong Earth. Number
That's right.
One of those Ahoy Comics.
Ahoy Comics.
Ahoy.
Still going strong. The Wrong Arthur is a really good issue. This starts with on Earth Omega with Dragonfly is saving this kid from an explosion, from this building explosion. And he was part of the villain's gang. And Dragonfly doesn't get hurt because he sprayed himself with explosion repellent that he had in his utility belt. Meanwhile, on the other, on Earth,
Batman just has bat shark repellent. He has explosion repellent.
He had explosion repellent, which was great. And back on Earth Alpha, Dragonfly is on Earth Alpha, and he's stuck in this giant piggy bank by the Dastardly League, and the pennies are coming in. He gets himself out of it, and you know, because he has more important stuff to do than deal with this, and he calls all the villains there frivolous. And one of them starts thinking, are we frivolous? We might be frivolous with sticking Dragonfly in a giant piggy bank. And there's some stuff with the...
He's called Dragonfly Man?
He's Dragonfly Man on Earth Alpha, who's on Earth Omega now. And then Dragonfly on Earth Omega is on Earth Alpha now. We have stuff with the... with the mirror... In the last issue, Dragonfly Man's sidekick Stinger broke it, and that's how they switched Earth. And the villain goes through it, and something really horrible happens. They try to stitch it back together, put it back together, and the villain wants to get back to the other Earth, and he, number one, and he, something really horrible happens to him when he goes through, tries to go through to the mirror to back to Earth Omega. It's getting so much mileage out of this concept. It's so good. And even in this funny, these lines, Dragonfly Man on Earth Omega, he says stuff like, I just picture Adam West saying this, you know, alertness and preparedness are the two sharpest arrows in a crime fighter's quiver.
Does he call him Chum?
He may have, but...
Yeah, I can't wait for the trades on these, because I'm going to just be beating people over the head, especially Captain Ginger. Last issue of the fourth story arc came out today.
It's really good. Wrong Earth. Next, read Avengers, number 12. I'm liking what Jason Aaron's doing with this. This is a lot of fun. This issue is starts with Black Panther at Avengers Mountain, and he's talking to Jarvis, and Black Panther is putting together a support team for the Avengers called the Agents of Wakanda, which is pretty much a new team.
It's like Kazar and Gorilla Man. I'm just going by the cover.
Yeah, yeah. He goes to Timbuktu to see Gorilla Man and recruit him, and Kazar, and...
still one of my favorite panels of all time in, I think, the first issue of Agents of Atlas. Something's going on, and he has to take action. So there's a robot in Agents of Atlas, and he picks him up, and Gorilla Man has a machine gun in all four, both hands and both feet, and they burst through, and he's shooting from all four. It was just, it was an awesome panel. It was just great. So one of my all-time favorites is Gorilla Man.
Yeah, Jason Aaron, he writes a good Gorilla Man in this issue. The Wasp, Janet Van Dyne's in it. He recruits her. And there's some other characters, Dr. Nemesis. And he also gets Odin to be an advisor.
See, a reserve Avenger? That's an interesting role, okay.
Yeah, and Odin tells Black Panther that there's a civil war in Transylvania is brewing between someone called the Shadow Colonel, who's gathering minions to take over the throne from Dracula. So this leads to the newest Avenger joining the team, Blade.
He was born ready.
And for Transylvania, darn right.
And he's ready to go. I'm liking what Jameson Aaron's doing with this. There's so much stuff going on. They don't even touch in this issue on the Namor stuff, the Defenders of the Deep, and there's a new Squadron Supreme.
I think he would be good on a Blade book, like a Jason Aaron's Blade book. That could be, or like a mini, that would be pretty cool.
These are obviously all characters he wants to write, because they're from all ends of the Marvel Universe, so I'm sure he's going to write a good Blade coming up.
So, how are they using Blade? Are they basically making him Wesley Snipes?
He just shows up on the last page.
Okay.
So we'll have to wait for the next issue to really see.
So I'm curious, like, the original Blade was British, and like, is that how they're going to use him, or are they going to make him, Wesley Snipes? Because that's what people know, and, arguably, he's cooler.
Yeah, we'll see.
Maybe a British Wesley Snipes.
The original Blade was a bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
Criminal, number one.
I blew through that last week. Blew through it. Really? I have more coming in Thursday, but man, that flew out of here. I ordered it the same number as Kill or Be Killed, so I thought that was a safe number.
Wow, yeah. Yeah, in the text page in the back of this, he talks about, Ed Brubaker talks about the past. This is Ed Brubaker's Return to the Criminal series. In the text page, he talks about how people seem to haven't read all this past criminal stuff, and they've just hooked up with him and Sean Phillips on Kill or Be Killed. And hoping they stick with his stuff. But this is
bye, Tim.
Bye, Tim. See you, Tim.
This is back in the criminal world. There's a whole bunch of miniseries, and they have different characters, and they're all connected, and some characters appear in smaller roles in other miniseries. But this starts with a teenage delinquent breaking into a house to steal some jewelry, which he wants to use to pay to get his dad out of pay for bail to get his dad out of prison. And the guy he steals it from, it's this old guy living in this house, and he was known as Mac the Monster. He was a professional wrestler in Japan after World War II. And his father, Teague Lawless, he gets him out of jail. He's appeared in at least one of the previous criminal series. It's him out of jail, but he's in this criminal organization, and his Teague's boss has ties to this Mac the Monster guy, and he wants restitution for the jewelry the kids stole, and he gives him 2 weeks to pay $25,000 back. And it ends with him going to this guy's funeral, who he used to pull jobs with, and he's trying to hook up to make a fast $25,000. So it was really good. It's Ed Brubaker, Sean Phillips doing what they do best, and can't wait for the next issue. Also read second issue of Prodigy. Number two.
Okay.
I haven't made it to that. I haven't read the second one. Is it any better?
I thought this was a lot better. I like this issue a lot better than the first one. There's a invasion, seems to be an invasion coming from parallel Earth. And they hired this CIA, hooked up with Edison Crane, who's like a genius. James Bond times 1,000 in every discipline. And they go to the Kremlin. There's supposedly a scroll in the Kremlin library that tells of this invasion and how to stop it, this ancient scroll. So they go, Edison Crane and his CIA agent, Rachel, they go to the Kremlin, and Edison takes care of one of the generals there with using Qi he learned from Chinese masters, and he paid $500 million off to everybody else in the Kremlin so he could get so he could get to see the scroll. And there's also an interlude with it's in Bulgaria, and there's this group this evil group who seem to be working with the aliens, and they have all these kids captured. This is there's some disturbing scenes which I won't describe. They have these kids captured and they hunt them for sport.
Oh, it's the Hunger Games. Cool.
Yeah. So I'm interested to see where this goes now. I thought the plot really moved along. The first issue just seemed to be, you know, showing and telling, you know, how smart this Edison Crane is. But this issue really gets going. And that's all I got.
That's it. I only have a couple more. Green Lantern number 3. Anybody else read that?
I did.
I had a grand plan of reading a bunch last night, and I started with this one to get it read for the podcast and kind of hurt my head, and that was all I read. Then the Penance game started, and I fell asleep during the first period.
Last night I'd only read one book for today, so then today when I got from work, I had it like an hour, so I was reading a few books. And I grabbed that one, I was like, I don't think I can read this one in like 15 minutes, so I'm just going to put that back.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of carryover from the prior issues, just a little subplot point about those, the Black Stars. But, basically the Earth had been shrunken down, almost like you took that plot point from Bendis's Superman run, and it was auctioned off. And this guy called the...
Shepherd,
thank you. I'm like, it wasn't Prophet. The Shepherd bought it and was going to put it with all these other ones and let it grow. And it turns out Hal realized that actually it was this creature that eats planets, but it had to sit for 1,000 years maturing. But while they're doing that, it had like gamma radiation or something and gave everybody on Earth powers. So Hal goes to Earth and the guy says, well, I talked to the citizens of Earth, and they said they're okay with it. And Hal goes down, and the guy, he's talking to a former helper, and he's like, well, everything, you know, yeah, because we've got these cool powers, and, you know, and talking to the government, and the government's like, well, we don't care, because we won't be around in 1,000 years, and we have these cool powers now. And then the shepherd actually goes, oh, I wasn't talking to the people, I was talking to, you know, like the cockroaches or something, because they're actually the most plentiful things on Earth and stuff. But then it turns out, because it's this thing, and Hal's like, no, you know, you can't sell a planet, and fights and wins back.
Did you enjoy it?
It was okay. It was just really high Morrison-y concept-y. Mm-hmm. It was very much, you were done and you're like, Hada! You know, kind of.
And since you're everyone say, but how, at the end, Hal does something very un-Hal-like.
He thinks before he acts?
No.
Very un-Hal-like.
Yeah. I mean,
that's a good point.
I don't know. I don't know. I was just saying that he did something.
Did he walk away so you can say it?
No, no. You
just want to spoil it? I don't...
It was just he did a thing, just the, you know, cliffhanger there at the end, you know. It just...
But yeah, it was, there was a lot going on there. It was, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now I remember what he did. Yeah, no, I don't want to spoil it for you. Yeah, no, that was definitely a very un-Hal thing. Yeah, now I remember what happened. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, nope, you're good. You're good, Spencer. Sorry.
Left the guy hanging for like a minute there.
Yeah, no, I couldn't remember what happened. I had no idea what he was talking about, but then I remembered. Okay. And then the other one I read this morning was Captain Marvel. It's very much like a buddy pick about... she and Jessica Drew, Spider-Woman, are kind of hanging out, and Jessica's all happy that Carol's back from outer space and now back on Earth, and they're fighting this big creature, and there was just a lot of stuff. It was just setting up a new number one. So it was fine. It was good. It was. Nothing earth-shadowing or anything. It was a new Captain Marvel number one.
Yeah.
She's had a lot of those recently.
Lot of those, yes. Very, very, very lot. Because you demanded it, yes.
I didn't realize.
It's the House of Ideas, man. The
House of Ideas.
Their ideas, reboot it with a number one.
When in doubt, come out with number one.
Well, that's okay, because they usually come out with number two.
So that's all I read. Holy cow, we are cruising through.
That's all right. So what's coming out next week, Colin?
Nothing, no.
Okay,
No. It's a good week of books next week. We have a new Aliens book, Aliens Resistance. This is coming from Dark Horse. Avant-Garde's, I want to say this is Boom. It's about like a girls' basketball team, and just I think one of the pitches, be careful what you wish for, because when you get it, you might not be the thing you want. So, but it's nice that it's hitting more like the young girl market, and I'm thrilled that they keep doing these books, because we definitely need stuff for them. Avengers 13, that's just for Dave.
Which one?
Younger Dave. Old Dave doesn't read it.
No. But
doesn't Dave, have Nightwing in it.
Old Dave does get it. It just takes him years to get
yes.
it.
I was more of a Justice League guy than Avengers.
So Batman 63.
You should spoil the ending for young Dave.
So, so James, I hope this one picks up for you. Blossom 666 number one, the next of the part of the Archie horror. It's about the Blossom twins, and one of them is the...
Like,
Blossom
the show.
No. The 666 comes in that one of the twins is actually the Antichrist. So there's going to be some fun adventures with the Blossom twins.
It's Cheryl.
Then the fun begins.
Yes. New Buffy the Vampire Slayer. This is from Boom. So we have a new Buffy starting from there. And then Marvel's hitting some of their little copyright protection books. We have Crypt of Shadows coming out. The next issue of Die, Die, Die is coming, and I really wish they'd get their act together, because we have yet to order this book normally, and it drives me insane. Because,
I was going to say, if you haven't ordered it, how's it coming?
No, because it only pops up on FOC, which means it's not a series, which means I can't subscribe people to it, which is maddening. So I have to go and see who bought the issue before, and then also look at the issue before that, because if they haven't been in yet to pick that up, it's not sold.
Why is it set up
that way? Because that's how Image did it. Remember, the first one they just sent to us.
Yeah.
And then because it wasn't in Diamond's system, we just keep ordering it this way. And it's just...
But it's been out for a couple of issues.
It has. Well, this is issue 7, and they still haven't gotten their act together. And it's very, very frustrating.
Yeah, because I don't remember ever seeing it, like, in the
one issue was, but I don't know what happened there. But, yeah, it's very, very frustrating. Just to me, trying to get it to the right people. We have Freedom Fighters number 2. Number 1 was great. Sadly, I sold out, and it sold out. So hopefully they'll make more, but I don't know, because it's kind of a little book. But it was really, really good. Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man number 2. So we'll see if Aunt May dies or lives. Guardians of the Galaxy number 1. This is a new one. Donny Cates doing the team. So that we're having a big party for that. Woo! Gem and the Holograms IDW 2020. Their 2020 series is everything set 20 years in the future. So this is Gem. We got Turtles and Ghost Rider or Ghostbusters this week. And
it's actually a year in the future.
I know, but they're calling it 20 years in the future. I don't know.
Okay. But they've been publishing for 20 years. This is like their 20th year of publishing. So
doing that. Justice League for old Dave is very excited about Justice League. Livewire number 2, that's just for Pat and Josh. Man Without Fear.
Pat.
Aren't you getting it?
I wasn't.
Okay, well, you get some Valiant. I didn't know.
Yeah.
Okay, just for you, Josh.
He gets Ninjak.
Yeah.
Got Ninjak.
But you knew Bloodshot, didn't you?
Yeah, Bloodshot. Yeah. Quantum and Woody.
Yeah. Well, Quantum Woody ended.
Yeah.
I know, but I'm just saying, he gets some Valiant, so I think it wasn't a stretch thinking he may have gotten number 1.
Did you see the picture Valiant posted of Bloodshot?
Mm-mm.
The movie, they're like, oh yeah, meet Ray Garrison. You look at it, and it's just
Vin Diesel in sunglasses.
Nice.
And oh wait, and he has a camo bag.
Man Without Fear number 4. That one, that weekly's been going along well. My Little Pony, 20 years in the future. Very exciting.
Hope it's post-apocalyptic.
Naomi number 1.
Ponies don't have that long of a lifespan. They'd all be dead anyway.
That is going to be dark.
Life after ponies.
I wonder if they live longer because they have cutie marks, Pat.
Could be.
It is magic.
Naomi number one. This is a new one from Bendis in the Wonder line. It's been in the back of a lot of the books. Oliver number one. This is another Oliver twist, which is weird because we have Olivia twist coming from Dark Horse, and this one is from Image. I'm a little intrigued because this is Derek Robertson is doing this one, and it's a post-apocalyptic Oliver. So we'll see how that goes. Shazam number two. I really like number one. Superior Spider-Man number two. First one was good. Uncanny X-Men Annual. Big things happened in this issue, so we'll see where this annual takes us.
So we have ten issues in a row, then an annual?
Yes. You can't write this stuff. War is Hell is another one of the Marvel copyright protection books. And then X-O-Man of War number 23 for Josh, and only Josh. And only Josh is allowed to get that book.
Are we due for like a Hell and Commandos book then?
Probably. Yeah, because then we're also getting a, what is it, Gunhawks? Something like that. And then Silly Seal and Zippy Pig, because somebody demanded it. So that's what's coming next week. Tomorrow, Thursday, we're having the signing with Chad Ciccone, and I believe it's Sora Song. For Null Fairies number one that came out last week. I still have some copies, and I have more of her variant cover coming in tomorrow. So that's Thursday from 6 to 8. If you can come down, please come down and say hi. Book club is the 25th, which is Umbrella Academy. I have more copies coming in on Thursday if you need a copy. I think that's about it that we have for things going on at the store.
Spider-Man month.
Spider-Man month, all month long, double points on all Spider-Man. I think that's it. Good? Okay. As always, you can the website's pittsburghcomics.com. Facebook is Pittsburgh Comics. Twitter and Instagram are PGH Comics. I will keep trying to post stuff there. All sorts of fun going on. And I think, Spencer.
That's the podcast.
We will talk at you next week. See ya.